since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Typically on Monday, we're recapping everything as far as the NFL is concerned, and we'll get to that. There's plenty of time. We're only through, not even through, week three of the NFL season. We are, however, in the final week of the Major League Baseball regular season, which is an accomplishment in itself. It is a marathon, and with the expanded playoffs, I think the final week of the season provides a lot of drama, and it's setting up to be that way yet again. We'll talk about some of the close races. We'll talk about some of the historical storylines going into the final week, and to do that, we'll bring in a great friend of mine and a great friend of the show. We have Steve Bordstein with us right now over the phone. Steve, it's great to get back with you. It's been a little while, but here we are now, the final seven or so days of the Major League Baseball season, and there's plenty to talk about.
Plenty to talk about, plenty of races, and, you know, for us who are, you and I, beloved Dodgers fans, a little nervous as we go into the final week of the season.
I don't have a ton of confidence right now in the Dodgers. In fact, we had this conversation last week here, and I will go back to it. The National League, at the beginning of the season, for me, it was hands down. Now, this is simple. Right, it's got to be the Dodgers, Phillies, or Braves. It's got to be one of those three teams. Well, the Braves have been just obliterated by injuries. The Dodgers pitching staff is held together with two picks, paper clips, and bubble gum. And the Phillies have gone just through peaks and valleys throughout this entire season. We'll start with the National League, because if I look at it right now, it is wide open. And Steve, I know you have a statistic that really points to just how good the San Diego Padres have been over the second half of the season and why no one should count this squad out.
Luis Arias, I mean, since his acquisition, that's been the difference maker. It hasn't been, it's not some great mystery. Machado's had a great season, obviously, and, you know, we've seen some big numbers from Tatis from time to time. Their pitching has been, again, like typical Padres, off and on from time to time. They're in a good spot right now. But Luis Arias is having a historic time of things right now, and if he winds up winning the batting title, as he right now looks like he's going to do, he's the first player in Major League Baseball history to win the batting title with three different teams in his career.
That's pretty phenomenal, really, what do you think about it? And
as much as you and I privately bash on the Padres because, you know, they're the nemesis of the Dodgers in the National League West, you got to give them props for having stuck around as long as they did. And yes, the Dodgers have kind of allowed this to happen. Again, you mentioned the pitching woes right now with their rotation. Their bullpen is off and on from time to time. And the rotation is a meandering mess right now. But, you know, you mentioned the Braves having been obliterated by injuries and the Dodgers, they've gone through their injury woes. I'm actually just as confident now in L.A. as I was in May, June, July, and August. I'm fine because they're in the same position as everyone else in the National League. No one is healthy 100% going into the last week of September. I'm actually fine with where we're at. Would I like to see more from Buehler in the last few games of the season? Some more from Kershaw? Yes. But I think everyone has that issue right now. So I'm fairly confident that with the combination of the timely hitting that we've been getting, with the combination of the okay, occasionally bad, but sometimes decent pitching that we've been getting, I think the Dodgers are fine going into the last week of the season. All they need to do is win two out of three over the Padres to secure first place, another division title, and we move on with our lives.
Well, or take one out of three and just take two from the Rockies and everything is good. But again, I do want to touch on this with the Padres, because I've been hard on the Padres for several years here on the show, but I can't stress this enough. In a world where free agency can totally throw you off track, this is a team that went for it. They spent all this money. They went all in. They depleted the farm system. They did everything they could to go out and get Juan Soto. Okay, they did all this. They move on from Soto. They move on from Blake Snell, who have both been highly productive this year. Snell was tossing gems for the Giants. Soto has found his home in New York. They lost, arguably, two of their four best players, and they still have a chance to win 96 games. I tip my hat to them.
No, and that's Mike Schilt. That's their manager. That's the difference that, you know, managers make in the course of an offseason. And again, if things do fall apart, I know the Dodgers fans are going to, you know, stomp their foot a little bit here about the Dave Johnson situation and what Dave Roberts situation, excuse me, and what happens to him if things go awry here again in the postseason. But that's the difference maker of having an aggressive general manager, like you said, with San Diego in the front office, making the moves. Again, losing Soto, losing Snell, those look like disastrous moves, you know, from beginning to end. And where they're at right now is impressive. So I got to give the Padres a lot of credit for being where they're at right now. And it's a fun few days as Dodgers and Padres get ready for a three-game set with the two teams separate by only three games in the National League. Here's another interesting stat for you, and we can get back to it here in a minute. If all plays out right now, and it's already official, because with the Phillies losing, I think it was yesterday or something, I think it was the Phillies losing, this will be the first time in Major League Baseball since 2014, with the exception of the COVID year, that not a single team in Major League Baseball will have won 100 games.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, the Phillies can't do it. The Dodgers can't. They can get the 99.
Yep. I think, and I'm wondering if this is going to be the trend of the future with the shortened games, the pitch counts, the pitch timer and things like that. They wanted more offense. They got it. There's more runs. They got more offense. We're also, for the first time since 2009, unless Chris Sale wins his start tomorrow on Wednesday and then on closing day, this will also be the first time in Major League Baseball since 2009, with the exception of the COVID year, that not a single starting pitcher in Major League Baseball will win 20 games.
Wow. Yeah, well, you're right. This is kind of where the rule changes are geared towards. And one more note on the National League. This is how tight it is. Right now, as we get into the final six games, the Phillies can still clinch home field throughout the postseason. The Brewers can still get the home field advantage throughout the National League. And while we're talking about the Dodgers and Padres in the West, whoever wins that division very well may get the one seed and clinch home field advantage. It is insane to me that right now the Padres have not even clinched a playoff spot, and there is still an outside chance they have the best record in baseball by the end of the season.
And for as bad as the New York Mets were.
Oh, buddy.
On Memorial Day. Okay, as bad as they were on Memorial Day, look where they're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. That's how twisted it's been in the National League this year. Now, a lot of the Mets' fortunes have come at the expense of the Braves having gone completely south. And even the Braves are still in this.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're two games back right now with the Mets. They're two games back right now of the Diamondbacks. And so this whole idea that the National League West was going to get three teams in, I still think it's likely. But in the same sense, the East could get three teams in. Amazingly enough, the AL East could get three teams in.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a fun week, and maybe this was the unintended benefits of the rule changes, is that you do have a little more, God forbid I use the word parity. But that's what you've got. You've got a little more parity now than we may have had in years past. And that's a good thing. It shouldn't be laughed at. It shouldn't be scoffed upon that maybe there is a little more parity. Maybe everyone kind of came back to earth a little bit and kind of lower, and maybe the expectations shouldn't have been set as high as they were for 105, 106 wins. But on a completely unrelated note, and please, please, dear God, let this happen over the next 24 to 48 hours. The New York Mets, the 1962 New York Mets deserve a break. It's been 62 years since they lost the most games in Major League history. Move over, Chicago. It's time. It's time for the White Sox to take their rightful place among the most absolutely horrendous, most futile teams in Major League Baseball history. All they got to do is lose one in the next six games. Newsflash, they will, and they will become the worst team in all of Major League Baseball. God bless you, Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, as far as the White Sox are concerned, remember, this is a team that did win the World Series. That was back when I was in high school. But still, they won a World Series before the Cubs had done it. That was like a 100-year gap, right, before the Cubs had actually won their World Series. The White Sox were champs, and they were still irrelevant in Chicago. Now they're a laughingstock once again. You know what? They are officially the Los Angeles Clippers of Major League Baseball. That's who they are.
So So God bless them on that one. I want to get your take, and I know this is your show, so forgive me for...
No, by all means.
And since we're talking about Los Angeles and the Clippers, let's take a moment here to just celebrate the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And, you know, what a fantastic organization that is. You have Rendon, who once again is on the disabled list right now. You've got Trout, who went on the disabled list for the umpteenth millionth time. And you get to be in the same city, the same county. You get to be in the same regional area. And you get to watch possibly the single greatest season by one Major League Baseball player in the 21st century in Shohei Ohtani. Hats off to you, LA Angels. You've done a hell of a job.
Yeah, and we can even further that. The Oakland A's don't want to win. They have an owner that purposely wants to piss off the entire city and maybe even the entire state in which they play so he can move. Las Vegas doesn't want this team. The A's have become a laughingstock of professional sports, and they have more wins than the Angels. How in the world does that happen?
It's wild. I mean, I can't imagine every day living in Los Angeles and opening up the LA Times or the Orange County Register and knowing that just 30 miles up the road, like we talked about before it happened, we talked about it before the move was made for Shohei Ohtani, all he's going to do is just turn right at the 405. That's all it was. He didn't have to move too far. It was a right turn on the 405 instead of a left turn on the 405, and he's at Dodger Stadium. But the monumental shift in not even organizations, because there was already a massive difference between the Dodgers and the Angels anyway. But now that gap has even more widened now between relevance and absolute utter incompetence of the Anaheim Angels.
No, there's no argument. That is all factual as to what you're stating. Now, with all that being said, we'll start the AL West. Why not? Because the Houston Astros, this was a team that did not play good baseball for about the first 2 months. You knew they would figure it out eventually. They've played very good away from home, and they're above the 500 mark at home, which is saying something, because when you take a look at that division, they are the only team with a record north of 500. Even in the American League East, I mean, outside of the Yankees and the Orioles, teams have struggled away from home in the American League. They have ran away with this division, five up now with the Mariners, but the defending World Series champs, I think, are the storyline here. You could have predicted the Astros would win that division at the beginning of the year, and I don't think anyone would have argued that. But the Texas Rangers, what a fall from grace. 8-500, officially eliminated. This team never got going throughout the entire season, and they were a big disappointment.
They were a disappointment, and for the life of me, I don't know why. I know there were some moves in the offseason, but it never just made sense to me why this team didn't just do better than it did, right? They still had some key players in place. Guys just didn't produce, and maybe there was a hangover effect. It happens when teams that aren't used to winning big, and then suddenly they win big, there's sort of that hangover effect. And maybe that's what happened. But I don't understand it, because I was convinced going into this season that I think most of us were, that this was a three-team race, Mariners, Astros, and Rangers. And the Rangers just never got involved. And like you said, the Astros got off to a really slow, slippery start, but they figured it out, and they know how to figure it out, because that's what the Astros do, unfortunately, for the rest of us who care about the integrity of Major League Baseball. The Astros figured it out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can now take this and transition over to the Central and the East. I mean, the East is going to get two teams in, the Yankees and the Orioles. I think it's fine to go ahead and write off the Red Sox and Rays at this particular time, both right now at 578-78. But if you look at the Central, the Royals have collapsed in a major way. They have dropped their last seven games. They have lost 8 out of 10. The Detroit Tigers have won 7 out of 10. The Minnesota Twins have lost 7 out of 10. And because of this, the Seattle Mariners, who have played 500 baseball, are still in the wild card race. So this is what it's looking like right now. Yankees, Guardians, Astros. Pencil them in. They're good to go. The Orioles get that top wild card spot. After that, we have the Royals, we have the Tigers, we have the Twins, we have the Mariners, and they're all separated by one game. We are living in a world where the Detroit Tigers may find a way to get into the postseason in the American League. And I am truly fascinated by where this team has come from, how they've done this. And I think this is what makes baseball so great. No one could have predicted this at the beginning of the year. If the playoffs were to begin today, the Detroit Tigers would be in.
No, and you know what? I'm actually kind of pulling for Detroit to get in because they're a fun team to watch. It's been fun watching the rise so far the last few weeks of Kerry Carpenter. He had two home runs the other night. It's been fun watching this team kind of come around. It's a bunch of guys who you didn't really see how they could mesh together. Spencer Torkelson has suddenly become a factor. Like, these are guys that have started to kind of get their things together a little bit here. So I'm intrigued by Detroit a little bit. I hope they can find their way into the postseason. I don't know what to do with Cleveland because every year it's the same thing with Cleveland. They show a lot of promise, and then inexplicably they just cough it up in the postseason every year, and I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, the American League, really, to me, if it's not the Yankees representing out of the AL, then something really odd went down. I know you can't really rule out the Astros, but when I look at rosters front to back, I don't expect the Guardians to really push the Yankees. I don't expect the Guardians to push the Astros. The Tigers would be a great story, right? But I almost feel like we're putting... I can put the Astros, I can put the Guardians, I can put... Well, you know what? Let me take that back. Not the Astros. I can put the Guardians, I can put whoever's in the wild card, including Baltimore, in the same category as the Milwaukee Brewers. They're just there. I mean, that is truly my take as we get set for the postseason. They are just there. Now, weird things happen in baseball. We know that. But I'm not putting any stock in the Brewers. I'm not going to put any stock in anyone outside of the Yankees and the Astros and the AL. I just can't do it.
No, I agree. I agree completely. And I think, you know, as much as we talked about parity a minute ago, it would be rather ironic that it would end up being the Dodgers and Yankees or the Phillies and the Yankees or whatever. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, you know. But if it ends up being that, you know, it was that we saw that coming, what, 7 months ago when we started talking Major League Baseball, you know, for the 2024 season. But the Yankees, look, the Yankees deserve to be where they're at right now. Fought through some tribulations midway through the season, as teams often do. Aaron Judge, 55 home runs. He's had an amazing season. I mean, they've put it together. Again, they're a team, again, with the pitching. They put it together with kind of, you know, sticks and rope here every once in a while. But they put it together. They've got that's why they are where they are right now. Gerrit Cole's done a remarkable job on the mound this season. I mean, that's why they're the Yankees. And it's intriguing to watch where they're going and how they're loading up for the postseason.
Steve, I want to end with this. We'll talk about Shohei Ohtani as he enters the final week. He's got 53 home runs, 55 stolen bases. He is the creator of the 50-50 club. I don't know that 60-60 is going to happen, but guess what? It's possible. I mean, it's right now the tear that this guy is on. 5 stolen bases is absolutely possible. 7 home runs, you might need some help, although you do get to travel to Colorado. You get to finish the season at Coors Field, where the balls tend to fly out of that stadium. I'm saying it's not out of the realm of possible this guy ends at 60-60.
It's not out of the realm of possibility at all, though I don't think you're going to see Dave Roberts pushing for it. I don't think you're going to see him pushing for it. I think the emphasis has to be get W's, close out the season, get a few days off, worry about the rest of that, you know, next season, whatever. My question to you is, and you and I talked about this a week ago, apparently there have been meetings happening behind the scenes, and we know that Shohei Ohtani has been getting some bullpen sessions, as was prescribed by team doctors and by team management, that he was going to start getting some throwing time in the late part of his rehab. There has been speculation that Shohei Ohtani will take the mound this season in the postseason for the Dodgers. I am absolutely, thoroughly, 1,001% against that, but I understand if the Dodgers find themselves in a predicament. What do you think of it?
Yeah, if he's fine, if he's cleared, I say throw him out there. I mean, this is exactly why you pay this guy $700 million. But I guess I have a question for you. We never had to worry about this with the Angels because they never sniffed the postseason. You essentially get to carry an additional pitcher on your roster without having an additional pitcher on your roster, correct?
Yes.
Well, there's your answer right there. I think that there's problems within what the Dodgers have pitching staff-wise. Bullpen has not been great, but starting pitching has been dismal. And you don't have Tyler Glass now, you gave a lot of money to. We don't know if we're going to see Clayton Kershaw again. Walker Buehler starting to look okay. Tony Gonsolin's pitched well in AAA, but with the amount of pitching injuries, I view Shohei Ohtani as a luxury for that pitching staff at this point in time because you get to carry an additional man that can play multiple positions on your roster. Not everyone can say that. That plays a factor, Steve.
That is a very big factor. He can be on the pitching rotation without on the roster without being on the pitching roster.
That's right.
That's a big plus. And I don't need him to throw seven innings. I might need him for two. I might need him to get a few outs in a 5-1 ball game, and I want to save my bullpen, you know, for game three of a series.
Yep.
That's what I'm thinking. That's where I'm not saying throw him out there in a crucial elimination game in the divisional round. I'm saying throw him out there for a couple of innings when you got a 4-run lead and you just want to see what he's got.
Yeah, that might be the right way to approach this. I'll say this. If Ohtani comes out and records a save in a major spot of the postseason, peg him the greatest of all time. Seriously.
Oh, I mean, there's no question. I mean, look, the accolades and the all the names and whatever you want to call it right now, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen by a player. And I know that we haven't seen him pitch yet in a Dodger uniform, but if he goes out there, like you said, he goes out there and picks up a save in game two of a divisional series, or picks up, you know, throws three innings and closes out the World Series or something like that, forget about it. It's the greatest thing we'll ever witness in our lifetime as far as one player is concerned. And to give you the, you mentioned the Angels a moment ago, 865 games. That's the number of games Shohei Ohtani played for the Angels, 865, without ever playing in the postseason. And in one season with the Dodgers, they're three games away from winning the division and being the number one seed in the National League.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's really incredible.
Think about what he was able to do with a piss-poor organization in Anaheim, and what he was never able to accomplish over there. And Mike Trout should be out of there tomorrow. Anthony Rendon should never have gotten paid what he got paid. But, I mean, for everyone on that roster right now, that's the absolute magnitude of the chasm between those two organizations that are literally 30 miles apart from one another in L.A.
Steve Bordstein taking out the time to join us and talk about the postseason and what we have coming up this week. It's going to be exciting, Steve. Hopefully we get you back on once the postseason is here. We can preview it and talk about the 12 teams remaining. Definitely some drama setting up this week. I appreciate the time.
And I appreciate yours, sir. Thank you.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Tomorrow, it's Football Tuesday. We'll have plenty to get into. Plus, we'll talk some Emory High School golf. Until then, be safe. I am out.